won't you take a moment to tell the person or someone near you that you're happy to see them today and encourage them just for a second. Build them up in their most holy faith. I think they are sufficiently encouraged. Thank you for doing that. A couple of weeks ago, I began a message talking about God's vision for the church, and we talked about love. Today, I want to talk about God's vision for the church, and I want us to talk about a subject that is not human nature. It is not who we are. But it is something Jesus prayed for us to become, and that's united. We're going to talk about unity today. And as I say in many of my messages, today's message is only for people who've had conflict with other human beings. If you've not had conflict with other human beings or any kind of division in your life, you may exit the room at this time. Let's pray together. Our God and Father in heaven, thank you for not only saving us, but showing us how to live. Thank you for sending Jesus, who is the author of life, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And I pray that we could imitate him no matter how challenging or difficult, that we would allow your spirit to work through our lives, that we could live lives worthy of Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. God's vision for the church. I believe that God's vision is that his church be a united church, that it be a body of believers who are one in heart and mind. And as I say that, as simple as it may sound, it is rare. It is difficult. It is possible, but it's not common. And unity is not the absence of conflict. It's being connected. Unity is not everybody being the same. Matter of fact, God made us all to be different. He made men different from women, women different from men, because God is glorified when people who are different come together and can be united and be one in Christ. That is where God is glorified. God is glorified when we work through our differences, not because it's really in our own self-interest, it's because we want to honor him and we want to help others to see Jesus living in us. You know, the longest prayer that we have in the New Testament is a prayer of Jesus. And the prayer ends here in John 17, where Jesus says, as he's prayed for his disciples, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, there is no greater unity than the Son and the Father. May they also be in us so the world may believe that you've sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The Lord wants his church to be united in purpose. He wants it to be of one mind, of one spirit. He wants the body of believers to work together, to love one another, to connect with one another, and to achieve this an incredible goal of being a light to the world, of continuing what Jesus began. the purpose of the church, the purpose of the body of Christ, the purpose of the household of believers is to continue what Jesus the head began. And that is to help save the world and help mature disciples through devotion to God, through devotion to the Word of God, through devotion to one another, through devotion to the lost. Jesus is the head, we're the body. And the body should continue to do or do what the head tells it to do. Unity is imperative if we're going to accomplish God's will. This is not just a good idea or a dream or a fantasy. Listen to me. Without unity, we fail. I mean, it starts really within our own households. And you know how challenging that can be for husband and wife and children. And if the mother-in-law is there or the aunt or other relatives, then it's like, how do we all get along to accomplish the same goals? It's a beautiful thing. It is the prayer of our Lord. And we need to answer this prayer to God's glory. We need to make this prayer a reality. And it's going to take a lifetime for us to accomplish it, but I believe it can be done. Jesus went on to say, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will fall. Satan works overtime to create division. That's how he works. He's always looking for some way to separate us from one another. And he's constantly looking to create divide, to create envy or jealousy or resentment. And he doesn't want us to work to try to resolve it. And sometimes we think, well, the enemy is this brother or this sister. No, that the real enemy is the devil of hell. That's who we're fighting against. And we've got to understand that it's instead of focusing always on the individuals, we got to understand that the God of this age, that satanic demon doesn't want God's body to be of one heart and one mind. And so he's always scheming. And he doesn't want you to initiate and to step across the aisle in humility and bring about resolution, because he knows that if we're not unified, we will not accomplish God's will. But if we are unified, as the Lord even said to the people who were building the Tower of Babel, nothing will be impossible for them. And so I want to encourage us, challenge us, admonish us today to build a unified church. Say, well, Sam, I'm good. Well, let's get more unified then. And I was on the phone last night with Larry Craig, and so much of what Larry and I talk about is trying to create unity. And I'm like, Larry, help me out here. This brother is doing X, Y, and Z, and this is happening. He says, well, we just got to get together with them and talk to them. Let's not just talk about them, but we got to go talk to them. And it just takes so much of our time. And I'm just talking about the church staff, just trying to get the staff to be unified. The people who are getting paid to create unity. The people who are supposed to be the most spiritual of people. How do we get all these guys to get along with each other? And to be humble and to be willing to make every effort to do what is right. Man, it is hard work. And yet it is so worth it. Because if we're divided, if you and your wife can't get along, the kids notice. Matter of fact, kids are experts in creating division. They go to the father. They go to whoever they think is the least resistant to whatever they want. And they try to pit you against one another. And Cynthia and I learned a long time ago that we have to compare notes before we say yes to our daughters. Because they were trying to manipulate the situations. But mom and dad got to be on the same page if we're going to have a united household. And so I want to spend some time just helping us to understand this. But there's something you, first of all, need to understand about yourself. Man, what a great looking group of people this is this morning. I mean, we've got some amazing disciples here in the Westchester region. We've got people that have been disciples 10, 20, 30, even 40 years. And that's to God's glory. Well, amen. Someone wants to applaud that. But we've all got a problem that stands in the way of unity that we need to be aware of. And it's here in Galatians chapter 5. You remember when your Bible used to open to Galatians 5 automatically? When you used to turn the pages. But here's a problem with unity, our sinful nature. Now, Satan is opposed, but Satan can't stop us. We stop ourselves. Now, as we go through this list, don't be thinking, you know, Sister Jane over there. Yeah, that's her right there. The acts of the sinful nature. Thank you, Sam. I hope she's listening. Or that this brother over here, you know, I tried to help him with this, and I'm so thankful that the Spirit is leading us this morning because this is exactly what he needs to hear. What about you? Here it is. He says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, right, church? Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Now, listen at these next sins. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Those are the sins that create division. Most of the sins in Acts and in Galatians 5 deal with relationship. And it's this stuff that keeps us from being united. It's when these things get in the way or we don't repent of these things or we don't fight through these things that we're not unified. And you just think about it. A church that has hatred and discord and jealousy and fits of rage. And you say, well, Sam, we're all Christians. There are no fits of rage in the church anymore. What rock you been hiding under? Hello? There's some sweet people in this room today that if you push the wrong button, they will explode on you. That's why we need each other. That's why we need the Spirit of God. You know, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, jealousy. I mean, Cain killed Abel out of envy and jealousy. Jesus was crucified because the religious leaders were envious of him. Matthew 27:18. Satan is envious of God. He wants to be God. And so therefore he wants to hurt anything that gives glory to God, which is you. That's why he goes after us so strong. And let me ask you a question. Which of these sins is hindering your relationship this morning? Not their sin. Your sin. Which of them is standing in the way? And we haven't hit the other sins of pride and arrogance and defensiveness. And the list goes on and on. But if we conquer these things, we can be unified. Because what is the fruit of the Spirit? He talks about the acts of the sinful nature, but he goes on and talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. There's no limit. that God can make us unified if we focus on those things and we repent of these things. We're sinners, people. And what we've got to understand as sinners is that when this stuff is in our heart, we have to repent and make ourselves do what is right. You know, Derek Clay sent me a text telling me that he said, there's a brother who has an issue with you because of something that you did. And I was like, excuse me? What are you talking about? But you know, I prayed about it and I reached out and I said, bro, let's talk, because someone else told me that you had. And you know what we do a lot of times in situations like that? We go, then they need to come talk to me. Shh. Doggone it. And when they talk to me, then we can fix this. But in the meantime, no, the Bible says if you hear that your brother has something against you, you offering your gift at the altar, says you stop and you go and you be reconciled. And in Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, you go to him. Where did we learn this other stuff? If you got a problem with me, that's from the world. You got a problem with me? Come talk to me. Man up. Woman up. That's not what it says. Because the whole time you're doing that, Satan is winning. He's winning. But if you have the humility, which I confess is not easy for me, to say, you know what? Unity is too precious. And what we have is too valuable. And God's dream is too important. I got to make the effort. I got to make the effort to do the right thing. And so we need to deal with this stuff. So let's talk about what is needed to build a united church. And I'm going to hit these real quickly. And I'm going to give you the three E's today. And I promise you, one of them is not easy. The three E's. What is needed to build unity? Number one, it's found here. Here in Acts chapter 2, where the Bible says that all the believers were together, and this is a blueprint of what we're trying to build. Now, here's the thing. It was when they first started, it was easier than it would prove to be later, because when the church first began, it was all Jews. No Gentiles up in there yet. Because when you invite the Gentiles in, then you really got to work at unity. Because the Gentiles, they just bring in some strange stuff. And when the Gentiles came in later, you know, you had to have the Jerusalem Council where they had to work on unity and said, look, yes, they had to decide, can they even be in the church? And Peter said, well, if the Holy Spirit came on them like he came on us, how can we stop them from coming in? So first of all, they had to vote to let y'all in. Okay, they can be in. All right. Now it's like, let's make sure they don't do these things. And they outlined the things that they could no longer do, because there were Jews who thought that the Gentiles needed to obey the law if they were going to be a part of God's family. And they had to deal with that, and they dealt with that. But here we see this beautiful example in Acts 2, where the Bible says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer, and that everyone was filled with awe, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, and the Lord added to their number daily those are being saved. God blessed it. God blesses unity in ways that are beyond what we can even see sometimes. You get a group of disciples together who are united in Jesus, who love the Lord, who love one another, who fight to be connected, God will blow that situation up and bless it beyond your dreams. And that's what we see here, and that's what God wants for us. But what does it take? What does it take? Well, it takes everyone. It takes everybody in here being willing to do their part. Jesus' prayer was, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in my message, believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Everybody. We can't have independence and you off in your own solar system if we're going to have unity. You matter. Every person matters. One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. And we've got to see that everybody in here is important and everybody's got to work toward unity. Here it says in Acts 2:44 that all the believers were together. All the believers, everyone. And sometimes some of us, we think, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I come to church. It doesn't matter if I go to life group, a family group, a Bible talk, or it doesn't matter if I go to midweek. I'm just one person. You could never be more wrong than you are when you think that way. You could never be more wrong. You count. You matter. Every part of the body matters. And if we're going to have the unity that changes the world, then everyone, every person in here has to commit themselves to the building up the body of Christ, to everyone being united in Christ. Here's the scriptures I was talking about earlier, and these are different translations. The Message version, and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony. You know, when the worship team gets up here, what are we looking for? A wonderful harmony. They follow the leader. And then you got Dave over there. I mean, I wish I could do that thing like he does. And then you got the sopranos and you got the altos. And then you got the rest of us making a joyful noise. But thank God they overpower us to create a wonderful harmony. Harmony. It says here, and all who believe were and who adhered in the Amplified Version and trusted in and relied on Jesus were united. That's our goal. And then the Voice Version, I don't know if you've heard of that one. There was an intense sense of togetherness among all who believed. We need every disciple to do his or her part. The Bible says that from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Are you united with this church or are you just visiting? This is not the movies. You know, you go to the movies, you don't be like, hey, how you doing? Pass the popcorn. I mean, it's like, hey, you go to the movie. First of all, you're looking for seats where there's no one else that could even, it's like, I want to sit in the middle and hopefully there's rows on both sides so I can put my bag over here and my drink over here and my food I snuck in here right over there. But then after the movie, you don't be going, hey, what'd you think? Love you. See you next. No. You go to the movie, you see the movie, and then you go home. You don't be sitting around like, yo, man, what'd you think? What'd you think of Denzel? What'd you think? Denzel did a good job. What'd you think? No, you're like, there are people who, like, even if you try to talk to them, I'm like, what's wrong with you? This is the movies. You don't talk to people at the movies. And that's the way some people see church. I'm guts. I hope Sam does a good job today because I'm looking. I need some inspiration. And then you go home. That's not what we are. We're not that. We're supposed to be the family of God. You come here to give and you come here to build up and you come to not only just have your needs met, but to see how you can meet the needs of others. Everyone. Everyone. Some of us come late, leave early. And then some of us, even when we don't show up, we don't let anybody know that we're not here. You know, Kevin Finnerty, pray for him. He's not feeling well. For Kevin Finnerty to not come to church, he must be near death. But he let everybody know he wasn't going to be here. It's like, I'm not going to be here. And he's got Andrew. Pray for Andrew. Andrew's filling in for Kevin today. But he understands, I'm connected. I'm connected. Some of us, we're more connected with our jobs than we are with the kingdom. Because you just don't not go to work and go, they better call me and find out why I'm not there. Nobody called. What? It's not what you do. You call them because you want to keep that job. Hey, I won't be there today. I'm taking a sick day. But with the church, some of us, we go like, hey, you know, it's not that important. Everyone counts. Everyone counts. I got to get through this point. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is comparing the church to the body, and he says the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and all its parts of many, they form one body. And he says, so it is with Christ. Now, the body is not made of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God's put you in this body to make a difference in this body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. You can't tell anybody in here you don't need them. You need them. You can learn from anybody. Sometimes God uses people to speak to you that you never thought he was using to speak to you. If you would just listen. If we would just listen. So can you be counted on, everyone? I mean, are you reliable? Can you help us strengthen the weak? Can you help us bring the lost to Jesus? Can you move a chair? Can you usher? Can you help us in kingdom's kingdom? Can you help to God's glory? Everyone counts. And when people don't carry their weight, they weigh down the body. When we should be lifting it up. And so the first E is everyone. The second E is every effort. Every effort. And we learn in Ephesians, I went the wrong way. How did I get there? Well, I want to show you that again. That they sold property and possessions and gave to anyone as he had need. Every effort. Man, that's a major effort. To making sure that every need is met. And here we're talking about even physical needs. And then Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then he goes on and he tells us about the absolutes in the Bible. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all, one. And we're to be one body. But we've got to be willing to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I'm here to tell you, this is not who we are by nature. But we've got to fight against our sinful nature and begin to make every effort so that Satan will not win and so that God will be glorified. Make every effort. And what does he tell us? Number one, be completely humble. Tell somebody in here, be completely humble. Tell them. Now, I know we want to be humble. But there's an adjective in here. Adverb, adjective, one of the two. Be what, church? What kind of humility he's talking about? Complete humility. You know, complete humility is when you take ownership. When you walk into a situation and your attitude is, I am here to see what I need to change. I am here to take responsibility and ownership for what I've done. And you know what? In my job, I take responsibility for things I have not done. Because that is how you get the job done. I'm not looking to point fingers. Complete humility is willing to admit your mistakes. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I have no excuse. I just want to get right. I don't want to be right. I want to get right. The humility that gives glory to God. The humility that we see in Jesus. He didn't do anything wrong to anybody, but the Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient. Even to the cross. No pride. That's how you create unity. You take ownership. You're not pointing the finger. He says, be gentle. Be gentle. You know, put yourself in the other person's place. You know, it's when we're hard-line, a lot of times it's because we're self-righteous. How do you want to be treated when you're in the wrong? Gentle. You know, they're fragile people in this room today. That if you say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, you may push them over the edge. Be gentle. Be patient. Tell somebody, be patient. Boy, I tell you what. I definitely want people to be patient when I'm in the wrong. But sometimes when they're in the wrong, you know, sometimes we put ourselves, we expect everybody to respond like we respond. Well, I know if that was me, I'd just flat repent right now. What's wrong with them? You see wrong, you confess wrong, you admit wrong, and you go on. Well, everybody's not like you. Some people feel things more deeply than you. Some people, it takes them longer to get past things, but we want everybody to be like us. Get up. I mean, what's wrong with you? Get up out of that. Where's Jesus in your life? He didn't dwell on it. Everybody's not like you. Be patient. He goes on, he says, and bear with one another. Bearing with one another in love. For us to be unified as a church, you got to accept people. Sometimes the way they are. And all of you, you know, I've been thinking about all of you. This is a strange bunch. With idiosyncrasies and oddities. And before, wives, you start thinking, well, I wish I had a husband like her husband. You ain't living with him yet. Now, you start thinking, I wish my wife was more like, how? Just hold up on that. Because when you start living with people, you see, you're strange. You was brought up strange. And you know what? I'm just gonna bear with it. I'm just gonna put up with it. And it's just, that's just the way life, you know. I know a brother, I mean, he was the neatest guy I ever knew. And he got married and he's living with his wife, and he's so neat, he folds up his dirty clothes before he puts them in the hamper. What kind of guy is that? He folds up the dirty clothes and he puts them away. But my wife didn't have to live with that. She had to live with that. That's all right. But we've got to learn to bear with each other. And so it is in the body of Christ. Everything's not a sin. It's just we've got to learn. That's Joe. That's James. That's Matt. That's Mark. That's whoever. But you know what? We love them just the same. We love everybody. Doesn't make their coffee the way that you do. Everybody doesn't brush their teeth like you do. Everybody doesn't go 2 minutes. Some of y'all, you ain't go 2 minutes. Your teeth ain't clean. What's wrong with you? And we can argue about some of the stupidest things. I got to close this up. I got a couple of minutes. We can argue about some of the stupidest things because we're trying to make people be like us. Instead of just accepting, bearing with. You know, we got people in here. You're like, why they dress like that? They colorblind people. You don't even know it. They're doing the best they can. They're doing the best. They put it up. They just don't see it like you see it. And they go, it works for me. Just stop it already. And let's focus on the major things. And then finally, what does he say? Make every effort. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Be earnest, be diligent. As far as it depends on you, make every effort. And then as we bring this to a close, every day, everyone, every effort, every day. Can you get a vision of what will happen if we're doing this? If we're making every effort in love to be connected with one another, to pick up the phone, to cross the aisle, to initiate the conversation. And I'm telling you, it's not easy, but it is possible. And it's amazing when we do it. And it gives glory to God, and God blesses the church. And here again it says, every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. I mean, they were in there every day. And I'm here to tell you, strong disciples are in contact with other disciples every day. Not just Sunday. Not once a week. If you want to build the church, you have to be in contact with other disciples every day. Now, when you go on vacation, fine. Don't text and don't return their calls. But when you're not on vacation, when you get the text, respond every day. Who's in your life every day? I mean, I can't. I am in, and it's not because it's my job. I need encouragement every day. I need to give encouragement every day. I need to be in contact with disciples every day, because let me tell you, this Christian life, this trying to be like Jesus, is not my nature. And so to be with brothers and sisters and communicating with brothers and sisters about how they're fighting the good fight, it helps me to fight the good fight. Who knows you? Some of us, we think that we should have a parade when we show up at midweek. Hey! I'm here! About time. Every day is what it takes. And if you want to grow, if you want to excel, if you want to give glory to God, you got to reach out every day to help build the body of Christ. This is the Westchester Church membership. We need everyone to make every effort every day to stay on this list. Now, you may be wondering, am I on this list? Well, I'm going to give this list to Joe Quesada at the end of church. Thank you, Joe. You're awesome, man. Joe just left the building. And if you have any questions about whether you're on this team, go ask Joe. It's alphabetical. And I see some names on here. Barbara Abbey, Michael Abbey. I said David Alvarado. Yeah, Joseph Andrew. I see some names on here. And then I see some people in here, your name's not on here. So go see Joe. Joe has the keys to the kingdom today. This list of people can turn Westchester County upside down for Jesus. You can do that. But it's going to take everyone making every effort every day. To God be the glory. Thank you.